We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Great to be here.
Speaker Matty Ellis, some longtime State House observers remember in the old days how the House used to share the budget with the Senate before the budget was voted upon. There'd be a joint resolution specifying the last day of session, and a lot of work would take place before the passage of the budget. Does this latest impasse show the need for reforming how the end of the session works?
Yes, and we've been continuously reforming. One of our big reforms this year, which actually helped contribute to the budget impasse, is that we're not operating and working beyond 10 o'clock. And that was one of the reasons that we went home, because if we didn't go home when we did, we would have been there till 5 in the morning again, and I would have broken my promise to the constituents. So we're constantly improving the way we do business, and I've learned plenty from this year, and I will collaboratively work with the Senate President. We'll have procedures next year that address some of these shortcomings.
Such as what?
They used to do a joint resolution. You're correct. So, you know, you talked about sharing the budget. We do share the budget, and we talk about it, and we negotiate it, and there's a lot of collaboration between the House, the Senate, and the governor's office, and it's continuous throughout the entire session. So I don't think we can do much more of that, but we'll have to talk about procedures at the end to make sure that these things don't recur.
As you say, you did uphold your vow to have the budget voted before 10 o'clock. It actually happened before 9 o'clock in the House. You said voting on these kind of things after midnight erodes public confidence. But I wonder if the goodwill that was gained by wrapping up legislative business at a relatively early hour has been undone by the attention on this impasse and feuding between the two chambers.
Well, I certainly hope not. I think at the end of the day, we both had concerns that I certainly think were legitimate. If you talk to the Senate President, he will tell you his concerns were legitimate, and that happens sometimes. But if you look at the budget, it's a great budget. We have car tax relief in there. We have a lot of other things, increased pilot money, benefits to municipalities, treatment for opioid addiction. I mean, there's a lot of benefits in this budget for our taxpayers. So I think, and I'm certainly hoping, that the budget itself will carry the day and that people will be very pleased.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, many legislatures use conference committees to try to iron out these problems when there is kind of internecine battles between the two chambers of a legislature. And I'm wondering if you've thought of doing that. That's where you would appoint, say, three people from the House and three people from the Senate and have them sit down and work out a compromise.
We kind of have that. I mean, certainly we could think of that. It's a new thought to me, but I'll consider anything. But we kind of do that because we have leadership teams and our teams are always talking. So in a sense, we do that on an informal basis.
Why has the House not yet transmitted to Governor Raimondo the bill calling for disclosure of more 38 Studios documents?
I believe that the one of the chamber's bills has passed and the other has not. So we're holding up the one that's passed until all of our business has concluded. But that will be transmitted. Absolutely.
I'm doing the sick leave bill, for those who don't get it, for mainly small businesses, is again in limbo. Do you support some iteration of that?
Absolutely. I mean, we passed an iteration,
yes,
of that. We worked very closely with the business community. We worked very closely with the advocates and working families. And, you know, I think...
So you're committed to doing that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's something that we spent a lot of time and attention this session on. And it's one of those things that I regret didn't get to the finish line. But we're not at the finish line yet. You know, the Senate's coming back. They're going to pass the budget in the near future, I believe, and we're moving in a positive direction.
We're talking here with House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. And Speaker, when people ask you about legislative transparency regarding the budget, you point to the many hours of finance hearings that are held, the opportunity for the public to weigh in. But during this impasse, we heard you say that you felt a handshake agreement with Senate President Ruggiero was broken. Does this show that a lot of this stuff really comes down to decisions made by the top two legislative leaders, yourself and the Senate President?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I hold caucuses with my members. I talk to a lot of my members. Our finance committee is always communicating amongst themselves and with leadership and with the rest of the colleagues in the House. And the Senate does the same exact thing. So at the end of the day, we spend a lot of time figuring out what our colleagues want, what their priorities are, and each chamber negotiates that. Now, once it's done, I mean, the agreement has to be amongst somebody. It will ultimately be with the Speaker and the Senate President, but that's the compilation of a lot of different opinions. I don't walk into the budget saying, oh, this is my opinion and this is what we're going to do. I make sure I know what every one of my colleagues wants to do and what the priorities of the House are before I go into that negotiation. And it's not a negotiation exclusively between me and the president. The committees are involved. A lot of folks are involved in that. But at the end of the day, the agreement has to be between two people, and it'll be between the president and the speaker.
With regard to 38 Studios, you're a lawyer. I'm wondering if you find any merit in Attorney General Kilmartin's argument that, as a precedent, that grand juries should remain secret.
I find a lot of merit in that argument. I put a lot of general principles aside for this one issue. In this one case, and this should be the one exception that you pass this kind of bill for, the public has invested so much money in this failed deal, and there's so much interest in it that I think it serves the public interest to put forth more information than less. But as a general rule, I absolutely agree with the Attorney General, but for this one exception where the public interest, I think, trumps everything.
We saw how CNBC recently moved up Rodin 5 slots on its rankings for best business climates from 50th to 45th. You've talked a lot about efforts to improve the economy. Do you consider these kinds of surveys accurate? And if so, why is Rodin not faring better in them?
Well, I hope it's accurate in that we're moving up. They weigh different things, in whatever way they choose to grant importance to. And I do think Rhode Island has its challenges, but we're moving in the right direction. And however you weigh us, moving in the right direction is important. But we have to continue to work on our business climate. We have to continue to be more competitive with other states, while taking care of the needs of regular folks. So, you know, it's a balance, and we're working on our balance, and I'm pleased to see that we're moving in the right direction.
Without going too deep into the weeds, on a financial basis, what would it take for you to support a PawSox taxpayer subsidy for a new stadium?
Just a good deal that the public agreed was a good deal, they were part of, and it's a collaborative effort. I think you need a collaborative effort. Right now, I'm seeing no promotion of the stadium. I'm seeing no input from anybody. It's kind of quiet, to be very honest with you. So if folks want a PawSox stadium, you need to see more activity and promotion by whoever is in favor of the PawSox Stadium. I've said this is a big deal. There's going to be a lot of public involvement. These stadiums are always public-private partnerships. So to get the public part of the partnership, you need the governor on board. I think it's hard to do something like this with a governor that's not behind it. It is the highest elected official. It's a statewide office, and I think you need the governor behind it, out there explaining it and promoting it to the public, and we'll see where it goes. The deal that I've summarily looked at seems pretty good. In fairness to me, I haven't studied it. And you know, when we get closer and we start looking at it, I will study it.
On that note, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And the Speaker of the House, Nicholas Mattiello.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.